We're in Netivot Shalom on Sukkot. It's in the additional volumes in Chelek Bet, which has the Moadim in it, the parts on the pieces on the Moadim. We're on page Resh Chet, since we're on Thursday and we're on Erev Shabbat Mamash. So there's a beautiful piece here that focuses on Shabbat Sukkot. So let's learn about the Ma'ala, the loftiness of the Shabbat of Sukkot. Basukkot teshvu shivat yamim roshi tevot Shabbat. Because, as we know, everything always has to come back to Shabbat. It has to come back to Shabbat. It's like we talked about in the past. It's the makor of Abracha. It's where the whole world is coming from every week. Its whole life force is coming from. And so even Sukkot, Basukkot Teshvu Shivat Yamim, the word Basukkot and Teshvu and Shivat, so the first letter of the first word is Bet, first letter of the second word is Taf, and the first letter of the third word is Shin, Otiot, Shabbat. Dehainu, sheShabbat veSukkah inyanam echad, that there's a clear linkage and uniting of the essence of Sukkot and Shabbat itself. V'chinolemi divrei haZohar HaKadosh, the Zohar says, V'Yaakov nasa Sukkota v'yiven lo bayit ulimiknehu asa Sukkot. It says after in Parshat Vayishlach, when Yaakov and Esav meet up, right after Yaakov and Esav meet up, so Yaakov walks away, and he goes to Sukkot, Sukkota, the name of the place was Sukkot, but obviously hinting there already somehow to Sukkot. Vayiven lo bayit, and he built himself a house, ulimikneu asa Sukkot, and for his flock he built Sukkot. And this emphasis again on the word Sukkot, which is one of the ways that comes out, that the Shalosh Regalim are all connected. They all are of a parallel, they have a deep connection, each one with one of the Avot. Pesach with Avraham, Shavuot to Yitzchak, and Sukkot to Yaakov. And this pasuk is obviously very often quoted in terms of the nature of the connectivity between Yaakov, Inu, and Sukkot. The Yitvi B'Sukkot ha Ishtazivu mean Mekatriga v'kut shabrichu chade bivanoi. Dehainu, see what that means. Shal yidei mitzvat Sukkah, that through the mitzvah of Sukkah, nitzulim mean mekatriga u'mishtachorim mishotona sitracha, that through coming into the Sukkah, we're saved from the accuser, and we're freed from having any rulership of the Sitra Achra, of the negative forces of Tuma over us. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu samach b'vanav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with us. V'inyan zeh matzoi gam b'Shabbat, and this concept also exists within the concept of Shabbat. As Zohar says, Kad ayil shabta I yitacharat v'itparshat misitra achavra chol shutanei rugzin umarei dedina kulu arkin v'itabru mina v'chulei. For those who daven Nusach Sfard, that's the part that said in place of Mem Adlikin. So they say a part from the Zohar. I can't remember the name of it. I'm blanking out. I say it every week because I daven in Nusach Sfard Minyan. It's a very beautiful piece from the Zohar that they say there. Instead of Mem Adlikin, they say that there, which leads into Baruch Hu, which is that on Shabbos we're totally removed from the Sitra Achra, and it has no rulership over us, and all negative judgments are pulled away. And there's all of these crowns that come down, and very, very beautiful piece there you can see inside of the Sidur. The whole Sitra Achra, it's totally overturned. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people are one. What's unique about these two mitzvot of Shabbat and Sukkah, that all rulership of the Sitra Achra, literally Sitra Achra, what does Sitra Achra actually mean? Masa Seter means side. Achra means Milashon Acher, or the other. So it's the other side. That's how it's referred to in the Sfarim. The Sitra Achra are the forces on the other side. The negative forces in reality. The other forces from the other side. Borchim u'mistalkim ipnehen, that they run away and they're totally removed from in front of us, all of these negative forces, v'lo matzinu inyan kazeh b'shara mitzvot, in a way that we don't see by any other mitzvot. So what's unique about Shabbat and Sukkah, that there's this aspect of this total removal of the Sitra Achra? V'nireh leva'er, dehinei mitzad ha'etzem shel ish Yehudi, ein le'sitra achra shum koach shilton alav, that in terms of the essence of a Jew, there's really no ability of the Sitra Achra to have any rulership over a Jew. Mnei shehu chelek eloka mimal, because a Jew is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The soul emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has a Kudsha Brich was a Kadosh Baruch Hu inside of them. Kamo Dichtiv ki Chelak Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachalato. The Efshar Shiel the Sitra Achra Koach Shlita Alav Klal. The Sitra Achra has no koach, has no power, has no rulership over a person. The Chola Achizah Sheish the Sitra Achra B'Yudi, and all of and any kind of holding that a Sitra Achra has on a Jew, who Rak Mitzad Shu Atzmo Mashlito Alav. It's a very powerful concept. That any rulership that the Sitra Achra has on a Jew is only because we give it the ability to rule over us. It can't claim ownership over us. It can't rule over us. But if we bring it in, if we give ourselves over to it, that's the only way it has any koach over us. Al yedei shenimshach achar hanaot olam hazeh, afilu hanaot shel heter, hari hoo mamshich al atzmo at hashelton hasitra achra. When a person decides of their own free will to run after the joy, the pleasures of this world, the finite, limited pleasures of this world, even pleasures in the realms of Heter. Not just a person who runs after things that are Aser. Not just a person who goes after things that are not allowed. Not just a person who runs after not kosher food. Not just a person who runs after contact with the opposite gender in a way that's not allowed. Not that's not what we're talking about, a person who's running after Hanot Olam Hazeh. But even a person who's a Heter. Even a person who goes and when they eat in a way where they're just trying to even in the simplest way of the way that the Ramban puts it in Parshat Kedoshim, that even a person who then, after they make sure that their food is kosher, Shalom, even after they make sure that their food is kosher, and even if they make sure that after they say that they're bracha, that they eat in a way where they're not really eating to make sure that they have energy to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're eating because they want to stuff more and more and more food inside of themselves because they love the taste of the food. And it's all about the physical pleasure that they derive from the food. And so too, when a person is in a relationship with a spouse, that relationship with the spouse is meant to be in a holy way, is meant to be in the right way, at the right time, in the right circumstances. That every hana'a that a person gets from Olam Hazeh, even whether it's certainly in the realm of Isur, that when a person runs after hana'ot of Isur, pleasures in a way that are Asur, and even when a person chooses to run after hana'ot and thinks that they're totally, I said my bracha, it's kosher food, I can eat whatever I want now, it doesn't matter if the food's going to damage my body, it doesn't matter if the food is going, if I'm eating in a way of achilas gas, I'm stuffing my face so much that I just want to feel like I'm gonna I just want to throw up afterward, right? Even when it's mutter, anytime we run after the physical world, then what we're doing is we're allowing them the sitra achra to grab hold of us because we've prioritized our physical being over our spiritual essence, and we're letting our physical rule over our spiritual, and we're drawing the sitra achra into that physical reality. That any physical pleasure that we gain from this world, it's like a wall that divides us from Alufo Shalom. It's a wall that divides us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it doesn't mean that a person shouldn't enjoy this world, Chas v'Shalom. A person should, when they eat Sudat Shabbat, it should be a beautiful Sudat Shabbat. When they eat Sudat Yom Tov, it should be a beautiful and wonderful and tasty Sudat Yom Tov. Right? We even sing the Taneg Ta'anugim, right? We're eating almost all the songs of Shabbat talk about how, like, the beautiful, wonderful, tasty, sweet food that we eat on Shabbos. Right? And when a person's involved in things in this world that again are of heter, that there should be enjoyment of this world, but the focus is the question is where is that focus? Where is that focus? That when a person is engaging in those physical pleasures of heter, is that person thinking about using them as a means, as a vehicle for hoda to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as a vehicle, as a means to add kvod shemayim to the world? I'm eating, it's not that I eat, well, you know, it's not that I eat, you know, like, you know, Carlos and Gabby's every day of the week, and now I'm also having Carlos and Gabby's on Shabbos. But even if I decide, and we can talk about whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea, but even if I decide to eat Carlos and Gabby's on Shabbos, am I dafka doing it because in my mind, that's how I'm creating Oneg Shabbos? I didn't eat it during the week. During the week, I ate less. During the eat, I just ate whatever I needed. But now I'm dafka going out of my way to elevate my Shabbos meal. And the enjoyment that I'm going to get in my Shabbos meal is going to be elevated through the food that I'm choosing because I'm doing it L'chavit Shabbos. On an even loftier level, I'm choosing foods that really energize and give our body life. But also making that be different. You know, we have in our house, we try to eat healthy. There are certain limitations in terms of what we can do, because once you cut out white sugar, you sort of are limited in terms of what you can cook and how you cook it. But, you know, Shana tries when we have time, that she makes these beautiful, amazing, these chocolate muffins for Shabbos. which probably for most people wouldn't even taste like dessert, but for us, tastes like dessert. And so we have these special, these again, they're totally healthy. We're not sacrificing in that level because we want to be Oved Hashem in terms of the quality of what we eat as well. But we don't make those muffins for the week. We make those muffins L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. We make those muffins L'Kavod Yom Tov. When Shana goes and she makes beautiful, amazing, incredibly delicious, I don't know why everybody else doesn't do this, incredibly delicious homemade whole wheat challah that's sweetened with honey, natural honey, that's just this beautiful. She doesn't make that. She doesn't make bread during the week. But when we cut into that challah and eating that challah, eating those muffins, or again, on the flip side, even if a person's not there yet, eating that Carlos and Gabby's, whatever the case may be, are we eating it l'kvod atzmi, because I want to serve myself? Because I want to give myself that physical pleasure because it tastes so good and I'm desperate for it and I want it because I want it for my taste buds, even though my intestines are going to suffer terribly afterward? Or am I going, and even in that instance, am I saying, no, I'm not up to the madriga yet where I understand how to make healthy food and really eat and make healthy choices in the right way? Fine. All I know is that I really love Carlos and Gabby's. But I'm going to make sure that I'm going to have Carlos and Gabby's on Shabbos. Why? L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. I'm going to make that cholent L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. I'm going to make that special kind, it's a little bit extra, but I'm going to make that special kind of chicken cholent L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. I'm going to make that special dessert L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different world. How I set the table. Am I going to use placemats like I use during the week, or am I going to put a white tablecloth on? Am I going to put out nicer plates L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh? And I get hana from that. I get hana when, you know, unlike during the week when my plastic fork snaps, so I don't want that to happen on Shabbos, so I put out the silverware and I'm going to have to wash it. Why am I putting it out? So the fork doesn't snap, or because L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh? That's what a person has to think. So he's not saying not to engage in the physical pleasures of this world. A person's mechuyav to engage in the physical pleasures of this world when they're mutter. And even when they're mutter, but to engage them in a way where the goal of engaging them is either on one side or the other, and there are obviously even more deeper levels than that, but on the most basic two levels, either am I doing it l'kavod Shabbos, l'kavod yontif, I'm doing this out of kavod, because if a great dignitary came to my house, I would only put out the finest china, and I would only put out the best food. For the kavod of that person, kal v'chomer, b'menoshel kal v'chomer, for the kavod of Shabbos Malchusa, for the kavod of the Chag, that's why I'm putting it out. Because Shabbos is at the table. Because Sukkot is at the table. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is eating with me at the table. Or am I doing it because every time I take that bite of food, I have such odah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I think to myself, Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. I need to eat. We've used this mashal before. I need to eat the same way a car needs gas. And the car doesn't have a choice. The car needs gas. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you could have made the food taste like gasoline. And you know what? If it did taste like gasoline, I still would have had to eat it. I still would have had to drink it. Because without it, I can't move. Without it, I can't survive. Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for making this taste so good. And that hana'at olam hazeh becomes a means of avodat Hashem. At the base level, to put it in one phrase, is the hana'ah a means to an end, or is it an end in and of itself? And if that hana is an end unto itself, it's the end of oneself. If the hana is a means to an end of avodat Hashem, then you've elevated that hana and made it kadosh. You've made that food kadosh. You've made that physical reality kadosh. So he's emphasizing here on the negative side that anytime one has physical pleasure in this world, it goes to the sitra achra in achinami. That's if it's with the hana'at olam hazeh, where the physical pleasure in this world is an end unto itself. V'yeshu b'chinat biyad minuval nimsar al yidei sheshaka b'inyanei isor rachman aletzlan v'yeshe'enu masor biyado legamrei aval hutachat shlon shetra'ach v'machamat hana'ot shal heter, that a person can be totally given over to the shetra'ach, like we just said, totally in the throes, totally under the rulership of the shetra'ach, even just engaging in physical pleasures of heter. It's so easy to happen, because once you get to that place, one thinks to oneself, but I'm already there. There's no more avodat Hashem to do. And then the sitra achra owns you. Then you've given over that shilton to the sitra achra. Because we've validated for ourselves, we've rationalized for ourselves, allowing our physicality to become primary and our spirituality to become secondary. And that's the minute that we lose. That's the minute that we lose. Even in the realm of heter. Omnam kasher yudim mitna'er lachalutin mehana'ot olam hazeh, when a person totally removes themselves from the hanot of olam hazeh, sheshakua behem al yidei zeh, batlami alav kol sheltatas dracha, that a person totally immerses themselves removes themselves from any immersion in the enjoyments of this world, then they've totally removed from them any ownership of the Shetra'acha on oneself. So with that background, v'hinei matzinu, the next paragraph, baze bet madregot kedusha v'tahara. We have these two levels of kedusha and tahara. U'kamo shakatuv mesilat yesharim, as it says in the Sefer Mesilat Yesharim of the Ramchal, shemadregata tahara hi prishat prishut sheporesh mikol inanei olam hazeh. That tahara is separating from oneself, removing oneself from all aspects of olam hazeh. Ulemala mizeh madrigata kedusha. Above that is the level of kedusha. Sheino poresh ela ma'ala et kol inanei olam hazeh ba'atzman l'maregajah kedusha ila'it bilti l'ashem levedo. That's what we just talked about. Meaning step one is to remove those aspects of olam hazeh, remove that connection to the physicality. Then he says, it's amazing what he's saying here, which emphasizes what we were talking about before. Tahara is prishut. Tahara is saying, no olam hazeh. Totally staying away, not touching it, because I don't know what to do with it. The next level above that, the more lofty level, is Kedusha. What is Kedusha? It's the reintegration of physicality into my life, but only in a way where I'm elevating it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, connectivity with the physical world is loftier than separating from the physical world. So first, we have to separate ourselves from the physical in a way where the physical owns us. Where the physical owns us. And then reintegrating it in a way where we then make ourselves kadosh by elevating that. And that's why, again, as we mentioned before, the Ramban that talks about this is the Ramban on the Pasuk, Kidushim Tiyu Ki Kadosh and Yashem Elokechem. That a person needs to separate from these things in a negative way, that's tahara, that's cleaning out, that's cleansing ourselves, that's purifying ourselves of all of the negative associations and connectivities that we have with the physical world. And kedusha is then letting the driving force of the holy relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that being the driving force of why we connect with this world. That's the goal. When we connect with physicality, everything is meant to be for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, same thing in a marriage. When we connect with physicality, when we're going and we're cleaning the house, are we doing it because we want to make sure that the house, because, you know, they're not talking about my wife now specifically, but giving an example, right? Because I know that my wife wants the house to be clean, and I'm cleaning the house for her, and I'm setting the table beautifully for her, and I'm putting out the food, and I'm setting the table for her, and I'm going, and everything's for the other person. And even, and one can extrapolate where this goes, and also any time that there's any connectivity of any sort on a physical realm as well, between a husband and a wife, is the goal to take or is the goal to give? Taking is selfish, and giving is love. Giving is ahava. And that's the ahava that makes a relationship between a husband and a wife kadosh. There's kadosh in a marriage because anything that happens between the two, the husband and the wife, is for the other, and therefore that's what makes it kadosh. You can see, again, it's as much that could, shatavam slacha, that's a struggle that every person has to go with, and there are levels upon levels upon levels. And that's why also, this is what we were talking about before, we're talking about in food also, it's levels upon levels upon levels. To eat for God is an incredibly mind-blowing concept. It's antithetical to the way we think because our bodies own us. But that when we eat, we're eating for God. How do we do that? If I'm getting pleasure from it, if my taste buds are exploding with excitement, how am I eating for God? It's an open pasuk, it's a mufrash pasuk. Tzadik ochel lesova nafsho. A tzadik eats to sate their soul, to sate their spiritual side, to give them, whether that means that they gives them spiritual upliftment in that, everything they're eating, they're being malet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or whether it means that they're only eating to give themselves the energy, the koach, to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about very lofty levels. These are things that take a lifetime to achieve. And as one gets to each stage, there's always a next stage, and a next stage, and a next stage, and a next stage. In all of these realms. the two key things that this farm focus on are the relationship between husband and wife and non-food, so we're focusing on those two also. Those are the two things that are paradigmatic kedusha. They're the two things that we can't live without. They're the two things that give the greatest physical pleasure. But at the same time, nobody but me, when I eat, nobody but me knows if I'm eating for myself or for Hashem. The only person who knows whether I have selfish or selfless intentions, intentions of ego or intentions of avodat Hashem, or serving my spouse, or being there, the point is it's about the other. The only person who knows deep down is me. The only person who knows is me. And that's why it's the deepest level of what it goes to, the deepest chamber of myself, the deepest place inside myself. Who am I living for? Am I living for myself, or am I living to give? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu lived for himself, so to speak, we wouldn't exist. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in the way we can understand it, not in his essence, but in the way that he's given us to understand it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he exists to give. And that's why we exist. Are we being godly, or are we being godless? Are we making ourselves our own God, or are we making HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's melech on the entire world? Are we living that reality? Very deep, intense, heavy concepts, but that's where the avodah is. That's where the depth of the avodah is. Tough. A little further in the text. Sorry, I didn't mean to take us down such an intense road. Like we just said, that even when I engage in Olam Hazeh, it's all Avodat HaKodesh, last line on the first column. And everything that I do in the physical world, it's like a mizbeach and like a korban. When I eat that food, when I have that chalent, when I eat that steak, when I have that chicken on Shabbos, am I eating for myself, or is mamish just like my table's a mizbeach? On the inside, the way a human being is built, it's a microcosm of the Mishkan. My stomach is a Mizbeach. What am I putting on my Mizbeach? Am I imagining that basically it's just to go up as Nola, Reach, Nichoach, Lashem, Lekavit, Shabbos, Kodesh? V'zeh madrigai la'it v'nis kava me'od shemekadesh et kol anyanim agashmim v'chomri'im v'et kol an'ot alam ezel ma'aleh otam bilti Lashem levado. That this is the highest level to sanctify oneself in all realms of the physical, and make all of the physical pleasures of this world, all elevate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. V'zeh inyanam shel Shabbat v'sukkah. And this is the essence of what Shabbat and the Sukkah are about. Mitzvat Sukkah, shebechinat tara u'prishut. The Sukkah, which is all about tara, this purity, this cleansing ourselves out, this separation, this prishut of separating from this world, shiyudi ozevet beito, that a Jew leaves the comforts of their home, umitna'eru poresh mikol inyanav agashmiim, and turns away from all physical things, v'yotzele sukkah, goes out to the sukkah, k'mamar maran v'beit avram, zekotong and literally bodedi ma'ashem itbarach, that they're going out to the sukkah. What's the goal of going out to the sukkah? To be alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you ever go and you get to have the opportunity to go and sit, whether it's at home or in your apartment or just when nobody else is around or whatever it is, to go to the sukkah by yourself, have a little bit of hidbodedut, alone time in the sukkah, solitude in the sukkah, and think to yourself, you're not alone. That when you're sitting in that sukkah, with none of the noise that normally surrounds you in your bedroom or in your home or in your living room, you go into that sukkah, and you're standing there in yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to be mitbonein, to contemplate about that hitbodedut, about that aloneness, that aloneness that's never alone. That aloneness because we have that chelek alokam imal that's within us. That I'm sitting there without all of the noise of this world. And I'm in this box with just four simple wooden walls and a little bit of bamboo over my head. And a little bit of bamboo over my head. Because I'm sitting here just with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm in yichud with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing but me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no physical world that's getting in my way. Since I've totally removed myself from all these pieces of Olam Hazeh, mistalkim kol kochot ha-sitra achra. All the whole sitra achra has no power over me. V'ishtazivu min mikatra v'kutcha brichu chada b'vinuye. That there's no accuser, there's no negativity, there's no sitra achra, it's just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone in this binyan. Aval ha-shabbat madrigahi kedusha. That's taharas, he says. That the sukkah, that's tahara. That's removing all of olam hazeh. What Shabbat? Shabbat madrigata hi kedusha, but Shabbat is kodesh. Kemo dichtiv u'shmartem et haShabbat ki kadosh hi lachem. Keep Shabbat because it's kadosh to you. U'perush marana kuvrin, kadosh mikuvrin, zekotegen alenu shafilu inyanei lachem ha'inanim shagashmim nitun l'ha'alop b'Shabbat kodesh, that God cut kodesh. Beautifully, you mentioned this a lot of time in the Nesivot Shalom. It's a beautiful concept. HaShabbat ki kodesh hi lachem. What does it mean kodesh hi lachem? It means that it's kadosh to you. He says, no. There's a deeper meaning beneath the surface. Kadosh hi lachem, what Shabbat? That even the things that are lachem, even the things that are yours, even the things that are physical, even the things that are normally just things that we take that are ours, that are physical, even the lachem aspects of reality become kadosh on Shabbos. That's the maila of Shabbos. Kadosh hi lachem. That Kiddush is all about that everything is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher b'chol yimot ha-shavua i'efshar la'agil ha-madrigazo shiyeh bilti la'ashem levado b'shlimot ki'im b'shabbat. That on every day of the week there's no way to fully do that. We're so immersed in the physical world. We don't have the Kiddush of Shabbat. We don't have the protection of Shabbat. We have to going out. We're osik in this world. We're going, we're taking classes, and we're working in our jobs, and we're taking care of this, and we're dealing with that, and we're calling, and we're fighting with the internet company, and we're dealing with alternate side parking. We're so immersed in all of the details and the distractions of olam hazeh. On Shabbat we stop and we don't disconnect. So it's a misconception. On Shabbat we take one day to connect to that which is truly real. We connect to Kiddusha and we take all of olam hazeh and we raise it up to a Kadosh Baruch and we be Kadosh. Because Shabbat we connect. We disconnect from all of the noise and we connect to what's real. We remove all of the etzra achra from us. And we remove all of the rulership of the etzra achra because everything is raised up on Shabbat. And from this we can understand Ma'amara Katuv. V'Yakov nasa Sukkot. So what does it mean? Yaakov went to Sukkot. V'even lo bayit, and he built a bayit, and for his mikneh he built Sukkot. Yaakov aitah bechinat v'even lo bayit. Yaakov was on the level of v'even lo bayit, of building a house. What does that mean? Tanu sheyeh b'madriga gvoha shel kedusha ad shemikol inyanei gashmiim eich shenasa isha v'eich sheolid banim v'eich shenihel asakav mehakol naaseh Torah. That was Yaakov Avinu in essence. Yaakov Avinu, the madrigas of Yaakov Avinu. You think about it, all of Parshat Vayetze. It's an incredibly long Parsha. He goes to Lavan, he has to fight for a wife, he gets married to Leah, then he gets married to Rachel, and then we have the whole long Parsha of the spotted, speckled, and striped, and all of these things of the animals, and who cares? The answer is we care. The answer is that's Torah. The answer is that Yaakov is Bechir HaAvot, the choicest of all of the Avot. The highest madriga of Yaakov, who sat in Beis Medrash for years, and then went out into the world, away from the Beis Medrash for 21 years, 7 for Rachel, 7 for Leah, 7 for the Tzon and Bakar, 7, 21 years in Beit Lavan. 21 years where he says to Lavan at the end, he didn't sleep bichlal. It's not that he didn't sleep because he was sitting there hovering over a chumash, he wasn't sitting there hovering over a mishnah. So where was the avodas Hashem? What do we care about those 21 years of Yaakov Avinu? Skip them. They're of no relevance to Torah. The answer is very simple. That is the epitome of what Torah is meant to be. To be able to spend 21 years where every single action that you take is pure Torah, and you didn't even open up a sefer, that's what makes Yaakov Yaakov. But even lo bayit, he built a physical house in this world, but his bayit was a Beit HaMikdash. His whole life was a Beit HaMikdash. His relationship with his wives, was Kodesh HaKadoshim. When he ate and drank, it was a Mizbeach. When he put out lechem on Shabbat, it was the lechem upon him. When he lit Shabbos candles, it was the menorah on the Beis HaMikdash. He was living Kedusha. He made every action that he took Torah. Kemaamar hayadu miran azavak kadosh milakovich shekotei gan aleinu v'afilu mitach belotav v'armumiotav niyechilak haTorah, that all, even all of his strategies and all the different things that he had to do in order to outsmart Lavan, it was all Torah. Ad shebehoshana rabba, that on Hoshana rabba coming up, mevakshim Hoshana leman pitzel berehatim, we say Hoshana, give us Yeshua, give us salvation. We're and all these Hoshanas. Why? For this, for that. Hoshana for this, Hoshana for that. Hoshana because of this, Hoshana because of that. Hoshana, what's the Hoshana by Yaakov Avinu? Hoshana leman pitzel berehatim. Hoshana because of He who made the stripes on the wood in order to make sure that his livestock would give birth to ones that would be striped. You would say, of all things, that's what you're going to focus on by Yaakov, you know? Hoshana, give us salvation because of He who made striped pieces of wood in order that He would get more flock? So that, because they would give birth to striped flock and He would get the striped flock? The answer is yes, because what He was doing was Avodas Hashem, even to the level of when He was doing literally all of the things He was doing for His work. All the minute details of how He was working out, making sure that this would happen, that would happen, in order to actually walk out with something from Beis Lavan. It was all Torah. It was all Torah. Ukitiit the Bezor HaKadosh, Shebemaaseh Pitzul Ra'atim, Tmonim HaSodot Shel Ritzuot HaTfilin, that if you really look deep, says the Zohar, into how He would peel and the nature of the stripes that He would make into the sides of those staffs, we can learn all of the details of the depths of what the straps of tefillin are really about, as they come down the sides of a man when he wears tefillin shel rosh, and when he wraps them around his arm when he wears tefillin shel yad. Dehainu sheYaakov Avinu ha'aleh kol kach et inanim shafilu pitzel ra'atim ayav madriga gvaha biyoter shel sod kavanat tefillin, that even when he was going and doing that, that there was the secrets of tefillin were right there. My Rebbe Rav Yoel once said, very beautifully, he said, he was talking about the Simanim by Rosh Hashanah. He said, Lo Alein, he says, what are the Simanim about? That what the Simanim are about on Rosh Hashanah is that, what are we doing? So we added the Yiratzon much later. It used to be you just ate a Rimon. You just ate a date. You just ate a piece of fish. There was no Yiratzon. So what is it really doing? What are you really accomplishing? Why is that so big that on the beginning of the year, this is what we're doing? The answer is that, if you ever, you probably haven't seen it. Maybe, you know, with maybe a friend, not with a spouse, maybe with a friend or with your parents. So you know, like when I'm sitting at the table, and so like at a quiet moment, if I look at Shoshana and I go like this, you know what this means? Do you know what this means? You know why you don't know what this means? Because it's a sign between me and my wife. And this little hand gesture, what it means is Mayim Achronim. And you don't want to make a thing, you don't want to tell people you want to end the meal. So when I go like this, it means, can you bring out the Mayim Achronim? Meaning when people are so close, even a little thing, the tiniest little movement, you understand what they're saying. There's a lot of depth to what it means. That's a simple one. But especially if you had a relationship with a really good friend or with a parent or with a spouse, even a look, a glance, a turn of the head, you know exactly what it means. What are Siman and Rosh Hashanah? Saying I'm eating a Rimon. You don't know what it means. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know what it means, you know what it means. Because we're so close that we're hinting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're so close that all we need are Simanim. All we need are these little hints. That's what a Siman is. And we know exactly what's going on. Rabbi said, that's how you used to eat the Simanim. He said, Avram Avinu, do you think he had, speaking of tefillin, do you think he had tefillin? Probably didn't have tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin wasn't given until our Sinai. But when he would move his arm, it was tefillin. When he would move his arm, it was tefillin. When he would move his hands on Sukkos, it was Hoshanas. Right? That when they would move, every move that the Avos made, they were living Torah. They didn't even need the actualized mitzvot. They were living Torah. Everything was a mitzvah. Everything was avodas Hashem. It's a different way also looking at it. It's not that we have 613 mitzvot. Baruch Hashem that it bishifleinu, that in our lowliness we have these physical mitzvot because we couldn't necessarily do that. We have 613 ways to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are manifest, that are overt, that are clear. That we have those also. And that's what he's saying here. That's what's happening even when he's peeling, just peeling into the wood, the kavanas that he had when he was peeling into the wood to make a striped flock. It was all of Avodas Hashem. We're not running on time, we're over time, so let's finish the paragraph quickly. We'll try to add in a little bit less and just see what he says. V'afilu alashon, first word in line is kal. Kal shebekalim eino omerkein. Ha'alei Yaakov avinu l'shem mitzva, everything was being oled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mizech elek Torah. Ki harim, he rimat et kol inaneu ma'asav l'dargat kodesh kodeshim. He raised everything up to be kodesh kodeshim. This is what it means that he built a bayit. What does it mean? Like the Yeshivot Shalom explained previously in a different piece, that when it says achat she'alti me'et Hashem, one thing Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I ask, just to sit in Beit Hashem my whole life. How come I'm going to sit in Beit Hashem my whole life? He has a whole life in front of him. So many things to do. It would be really nice if I could take off my whole life and just sit in the base medrash, and if there was a base mikdash bezrat Hashem, then I could just sit there. I could just take a chair, pull it up into the azar, and hang out there my whole life. That would be amazing. And achinam, that would be amazing. But that's not life. Ela kavana shekadesh et beito, that a person's makadesh their own bayit, their dorm room, their apartment, their home, the home that they build with their spouse. Shikadeshet beito, shia beit Hashem, that their bayit is a beit Hashem, v'az heichan shu nimsa, wherever a Jew is, v'chol ma shehu oseh, and everything that a Jew does, kol yimei chayav, their whole life, hareu tamid yoshev beit Hashem, they're always sitting in beit Hashem, v'makriv bo korbanot, and they're always bringing korbanot through every action that they take. V'zeh hayita madrigat Yaakov Avinu, this was the level of Yaakov, shehaya b'vchinat bayit, that he was a level of bayit shu kavua, which was always there, beit shebeito haya beit Hashem tamid, that his bayit was always a beit Hashem, v'nit kayem bo shivti b'beit Hashem kol yimei chayai, he was living in beit Hashem his whole life. Aval, you ready for it now? Ulimiknehu asa sukot. But for his flock, for them he made sukkot. What does that mean? La'elu she'einam b'madriga kazo shel kiddusha, for those who weren't on the level of kiddusha of Yaakov, where their whole bayit was kadosh. Avuram asa sukkot, for them he made sukkot. Hainu shem tshichim l'prishut, he made them an opportunity, he gave them ways to separate themselves from the physical world, so that on their level, they could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kinyan HaSukkah Shmita'er Purish Mikol Ni Olam Hazeh, which is what the Sukkah is, which is leaving the physical world behind. So for a few minutes each day, one day a week, a few minutes on Sukkot, we don't have the ability to raise up every aspect of it. Okay, fine, I'm not Yaakovinu yet. But for now, for these 8 days of Sukkot, for these 7 days of Sukkot, and for those of us on Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret also, for these 8 days that we're going out and separating from the physical and raising ourselves up. V'omro kevan deyativ b'sukkah, ishtazvizu min mekatriga, v'kudsha brichu chadei bivanuye. That for this time that we're sitting in the Sukkot, we remove ourselves from the accuser, from the Sitra Achra. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's living there with us, that even when we're just sitting in the sukkah, we're removing the sitra achra through our prishut, not yet maybe through kedusha, but at least that tahara. Because the whole hold of the sitra achra over us is only because we go after olam hazeh. When we remove ourselves from the hanaot of this world, Ein lekochot zra'acha shumach izabo. There's no hold of this zra'acha over us. V'lachin matzinu shebigesh Yaakov. That's why Yaakov, you know, asks, Hatzilini yam yarachim yareisav. At the beginning of that parsha, the beginning of parsha Vayishlach, he says, save me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav. Ki arei, because he feared. Anochi oto pen yavo vehachini im albanim. Chag Sameach Shabbos. V'latzmolu yitarei pen yarugu oto. Lefish Yaakov atzmo hayalo at koach hakedusha, v'lo hayalo klal yitarei mipnei hasitra achra, v'la moresh lo haya pen yavo v'akeni im albanim. He was worried about Esav knocking him down, because he was on this level of kedusha, but him knocking down everything else. Perush et elu shehin adain madrigot knot yoter aleim chashash shelo yiyel asech izabahem. He was davening, save me from Esav, meaning I have this whole household, I have these wives, I have these children, I have all these people who are with me, and all of this flock. Don't let the sitra achra that is Esav, don't let him have any hold over me. Save me, not me. Mikilu, I'm not worried, I'm not going to be overtaken by Esav, but everything that I have can be taken over by He who is pure physicality. Save me from Esav. Save me from that Sitra Achra.
just make sure.
V'zeh shamru chazal. That's what Chazal say in Masechet Shabbat, that anybody who has true oneg of Shabbat, this is the beginning of this paragraph, anybody who has true oneg on Shabbat, that they're given an inheritance without any borders. Yaakov was able to expand his borders. The whole world was open to him with regards to Avodat Hashem. Everything that existed in reality for him was a means of Avodat Hashem. And a person who's Nochel Shabbat, a person who really brings Shabbat into themselves, they inherit a Nachala B'li Mitzrim because there's no Mitzrim, there's no borders of what one can accomplish. There's no borders of what one can engage. Everything can be Me'alet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Agavia, Ki Igbia Et Kol Inyanei HaOlam, Vafilu Ana'ot Olam Hazeh V'Inyanei Heter LaMadrigat HaKedushah, that everything is being raised up to the highest level of Kedusha, and in the highest, and everything is being made into Torah. Therefore he receives this Nachala of Kedusha without any borders. He's told you're going to spread out north, south, east, and west. There's nothing that's beyond your reach. Targata Shabbat bechinat madriga shel Yaakov, that the bechina of Shabbos is, that the madriga of Shabbos is also then is also connected to Yaakov. K'mamar v'hachalticha nachalat Yaakov avicha, that you'll eat from the nachla of Yaakov. Shehi b'dargat kodesh lekadesh kol yirei olam hazeh, that it's the level of kedusha of the mekadesh all aspects of this world. K'mo shekatuv b'shabbos kodesh hilachem, like we said before, shabbos kodesh hilachem, that all of lachem becomes kadosh. V'al kein ha'me'aneget ha'shabbat shemarchiv gvul ha'kedusha al kol yirei olam notnim lo nachalad b'mitzarim, that when a person truly brings Shabbat into their lives and therefore it expands, the whole world becomes kadosh, they inherit by default a nachalad b'mitzarim. They're inheriting, there's no borders and boundaries to what they can engage in this world, because for that person it's kulo kedusha. Mikasher mitachdim Shabbat v'Sukkot, when we bring Shabbat and Sukkot together, asu azmana gadol lehitna'er mikol inei olam hazeh, that's when we can totally remove all aspects of olam hazeh, lead kadesh b'kedusha shel mala, and to truly bring kedusha on us on the highest levels. V'kol shilton ha'sitra achra yitbatel meno v'ada shakadosh baruch hu chadei b'vinuye, and all sitra achra is removed from us to the level where we're with just alone with a kadosh baruch hu in that binyan of Shabbat and that binyan of Sukkah, like we've been talking about in previous weeks, that it's this beautiful coming together of these two realities. That Shabbat, he's saying it a little bit differently, but that Shabbat is the Kedusha in time. That Shabbos is the Zman of Kedusha. It's Me'ein Olam Haba in time. And the Sukkah, we're going out of our homes, we're going out of the physical realm. And he's talking about in the level of Tara, but there are other places that talk about that we're going into a level of Olam Haba in space. And we have this beautiful moment on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot, where we're able to live in Olam Hazeh, in Zman and in Makom. In Zman, it's all Ra'oi. There's Shabbos in the Sukkah. And there's three levels to reality. There's space, there's time, and there's soul. And the only thing missing from that equation is me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot, a Kedusha in time that exists within a Kedusha of space. And the question is, in the Kedusha of Nefesh, who is walking into that Sukkah on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot? And how can I embrace and live for that moment in that Kedusha of Olam Hazeh in time and space? As he's putting it, in that reality of Tahara and Kedusha, and raise myself up to the loftiest of levels of connectivity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bezrat Hashem, over Sukkot, we should be able to experience removing ourselves from more and more layers of Olam Hazeh. To do that hitbonenut and hitbonedut in the Sukkah, to have that quiet time in the Sukkah, to think about what it means to really be there and exist in that Sukkah, to live with one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a realm that's not my house, where I'm living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in our house. On Shabbat, where I'm living that and experiencing it in time and raising myself up to the Kedusha in time. And to take that with us, to take that reality with us and drag it back into our homes during the year, into our Shabbos during the year, in a way where, like Yaakov, we make our bayit a Beit HaMikdash and elevate our time and our space, kulo, everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bezrat Hashem, and to be zochet to see the actual binyan of the Beit HaMikdash itself from here on Yamin.